The following program was previously recorded.
This is Mayo Clinic Radio, the only show that gives you the chance to ask your questions to Mayo Clinic experts. We'll take you beyond the headlines to explain what developments in medicine mean to you. Join the conversation by phone, Twitter, Facebook, or radio.mayoclinic.org. Now, with this week's program, here are your hosts, Dr. Tom Shives and Tracy McRae.
From the Mayo Clinic, Rochester, Minnesota campus, I'm Dr. Tom Shives.
And I'm Tracy McRae.
Welcome, everyone, to Mayo Clinic Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network. Well, Tracy, good morning. Nice to see you.
Good morning to you.
You probably would like to know that I went to see the doctor this week.
Oh, and? How are you doing?
I had my physical. You know, I always want to know if I'm going to croak over the holidays. It's good to get it done early December.
That's good.
He checked every orifice. And the only warning I have, the only thing that didn't go well, that I didn't like about it, was when you get to be my age, they give you the pneumococcal vaccine, the Pneumovax.
Okay.
And that hurts.
Oh.
But it's good to have it.
Did you go out for ice cream afterwards?
Well,
that's what we do at my house.
Yeah, I had to go back to work, unfortunately.
Oh.
But you know what was it? Joe Garagiola said, there's no better feeling in the world than coming out of the Mayo Clinic with a clean bill of health.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, it's the holidays.
It is.
So that can bring a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. Despite what were the lyrics of those Christmas songs that we're all listening to, and we're supposed to be happy and content, and truly, this is supposed to be the happiest time of the year.
I think it's the happiest time of the year.
Well, that's true. And, you know, for some, that might be the case, but for others, the stress and the worry that go along with trying to make the holidays the perfect picture of everything, friends and family, like I know you're trying to do at home right
now. Yeah, I sure am.
It can actually make this the most miserable time of the year. And it's not just the holidays that can be miserable and stressful for a lot of people. There is stress in their lives all year long, unfortunately.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, I want to find out how.
Absolutely. Today on Mayo Clinic Radio, we'll meet stress reduction guru. It says that on his business card, possibly. I'm not sure. Dr. Amit Sood. He's the author of The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. We'll tell you what causes stress and why it happens. We'll give you some skills on how to cope with stress, how to better manage it in your life. Plus, we'll talk about medication. Is there a medication that can help? Plus, three simple meditation techniques for beginners. I love to see how that works over for you.
Well, I know, and I hope we can do it on the show. We can demonstrate.
Okay, great.
Right here.
But first, it's the most wonderful time of the year, as you said, Tom, but not always the most healthy time, specifically for our hearts. Taking care of your heart is especially important during Christmas and New Year's. Joining us to explain why is Dr. Kevin Barrett from Mayo Clinic Jacksonville. Greetings, Dr. Barrett.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's everything in Jacksonville?
Oh, we're going to climb up to about 82 degrees today. How's that?
Why did you ask him that? I don't want to know. Why are the holidays so hard on our hearts, Dr. Barrett?
Epidemiologically, there is an increased incidence of both heart attack and stroke during the holidays. And it probably has to do with some of the shared risk factors between heart attack and stroke. And those include high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, and also lifestyle factors. So exercise, smoking, diet. And during the holidays, as you guys are well aware, often it's a time where people may have a higher risk of dietary indiscretions, drinking more than perhaps they should, getting out of their usual exercise routine. And all of those things can come together to lead to this peak that we see specifically on Christmas and New Year's Day in heart attack and stroke.
So you've actually kept track of the numbers, and those days you have more people coming in for emergency room.
True. More diagnoses. But there's a flip side to that, and we want to caution our listeners that they don't want to be the ones who stay quiet or don't speak up if they have symptoms during the holidays because they don't want to interrupt a family gathering or a party. So it's also a high-risk time for not reporting symptoms.
Wow, so they have chest pain or they're not feeling quite right, but they don't want to wreck Christmas Eve, and so they don't say anything?
Exactly.
Wow.
All right, so if you think you might be having a heart attack, call 911, chew aspirin. Is that still what you would recommend?
Those are good recommendations, and stroke symptoms should be handled with equal urgency. So people who develop sudden weakness on one side of the body, sudden difficulty with speech or understanding what others are saying to them, sudden loss of vision. And for stroke, because it's painless, unlike a heart attack, often it's somebody else who recognizes that the patient is having a stroke. So we need family, friends, and witnesses to be aware of stroke symptoms as well.
So take an aspirin, call 911. Diabetes is having more and more effect on the number of patients you're seeing with heart attacks, right? I mean, a lot of these patients have diabetes that is not well controlled.
That is correct. And dietary indiscretions during the holidays is going to lead to higher blood sugar, and that's going to have a cascading effect and is probably part of the reason we see more heart attack and stroke this time of year.
And how about the people who are at risk? Should they get a flu shot?
Sure. Flu shots are always recommended for those people who are at risk.
I remember we spoke with Dr. Kopetsky, who was coincidentally here last week. We spoke to him at Easter time, and he said that they staff the emergency room with more people the Monday after Easter than the other days during the week. Is that the same thing in the emergency rooms? Is there more of a staff on hand on Christmas Day and New Year's Day?
It's a double-edged sword. Everybody likes to be home with their family during the holidays, and especially on those days. But emergency departments are well prepared to handle patients with stroke or heart attack symptoms at that time of year.
Well, this helped motivate me to continue exercising through the holidays, which sometimes you forget to do that when there's everybody around and there's so much going on.
Yeah, around Easter, it was the Easter ham.
It was the ham.
It had
right.
So much salt in it. So maybe turkey for Christmas and
right.
Not the Christmas ham, huh? Dr. Kevin Barrett, thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Stay cool. All right, see you later.
It's time for a short break. Coming up, we're going to talk with our stress expert, Dr. Amit Sood from the Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. I've got my copy right here. Plus, myth or matter of fact, we're going to find out once and for all, Tom, are women better at multitasking than men? There's a lot of discussion on our Facebook page about
women
this.
Are better at everything, aren't they?
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
All right, myth or matter of fact, we'll get the answer coming up right after the news. Bottom of the hour, we'll take your questions and comments for Dr. Sood at 507-282-1234. Or you can contact us by going to our website, radio.mayoclinic.org, or tweet us anytime, #MayoClinicRadio. We're back right after this. Welcome back to Mayo Clinic Radio. Dr. Tom Shives along with Tracy McRae. Don't forget, a little after the bottom of the hour, after our medical news, we'll be talking to Dr. Donald Hensrud about multivitamins. Some information this week that said there's really nothing to that.
The death of the multivitamin.
That's right. So we'll talk to him a little bit after the bottom of the hour. Today's guest is Dr. Amit Sood, who is professor of medicine. He's chair of the Mind-Body Medicine Initiative at the Mayo Clinic, and he is author of the brand new book called The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. How can you beat that? Dr. Sood, welcome to the program. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Tom and Tracy. Glad to be here.
Particularly at this time of year.
Absolutely. Holidays are a time when we get more stressed. Everything that we have gets doubled and tripled, and that is what produces a lot of stress, all the responsibilities.
Is it possible that it can be 100% eliminated? Is that what we want?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Stress is like salt in your food. You need a little bit of stress. So I don't know if you've ever tried zero salt diet. It's pretty bland. And so if your life has no stress, it's going to be bland. But if you go to India Curry House and have a very high salt and spicy food, then that's going to not be, that won't be good for your stomach. So in balance, stress is good.
So some stress is good, you're saying. Not all stress is bad, but some of it is.
Some of it is bad. If you have demand resource imbalance, when you have to pack 40 hours of work in a weekend, that becomes stressful. Lack of control. If you're told that your office is moved to windowless basement without being aware of it, that gets stressful. And when you're doing something that is not meaningful, that is stressful.
In this book, you break it down into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Those are the three kinds of stress.
That's right. I want to keep the good stress, convert bad stress into good stress, and be prepared for the ugly stress.
Okay, so explain the good stress is like a wedding. A new job. Those are the good stresses.
Vacation.
Okay. Yes, vacation.
Good. Raising babies.
Okay.
Promotion.
Sure. What the bad stress is?
The bad stress is when babies are sick. That is bad stress, or they are yelling at you, or they are upset. That is bad stress. When you are dealing with a difficult supervisor, that is bad stress.
Teenagers.
What? You don't have any of that problem. Other people have.
Well, when they're flipping channels and you want to watch I Dream of Jeannie, that is bad stress.
Okay, so then what's the ugly stress?
Ugly stress is being diagnosed with something very difficult, like metastatic ovarian cancer, or having to file for bankruptcy, or finding that your spouse is cheating on you.
Okay, so say that again. You want to turn the bad stress into the good. Explain, say that again.
So you want to keep the good stress in life.
Sure.
You want to convert the good bad stress into good stress. And you want to be prepared for ugly stress.
Got it.
All right. And of course, that's key. Now, by the way, how did you become interested in stress? You are a general internist. General internal medicine is what your specialty is. But you have begun to work in the alternative medicine clinic. And now you are one of the world's experts on stress. How did that happen?
Well,
were you stressed?
Yeah. Yes and no. I came to U.S. in 1995. From India.
Okay.
And I'd seen a lot of malnutrition and adversity and infection and poverty there. Things are better now. Anyway, when I came, I thought the entire Western world is a big Disneyland. Everybody here is going to be happy. But when I saw there was a lot of stress in society, almost as much as what I found in India, that piqued my curiosity. I started on a journey to see how our brain and mind work. And that journey led me to wonderful realizations. And I said, well, this is something I need to absolutely share with my people. So this is now my driving passion, both personal and professional.
In the book, you mention, imagine a light bulb as big as the Mall of America. Explain how you say that, because I can't say it probably as eloquently as you can.
Well, I'll try.
Here's what your brain is. It's a light bulb.
So imagine a light bulb that is as big as Mall of America. You've got actually billions of light bulbs there, and shrink it to a 3-pound cantaloupe-sized mass. That is your brain. That is how complex and how awesome your brain is.
So the book, The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living, is it available now?
It is available now on every place where books are sold. Actually, the official release is December 24th.
If you go to radio.mayoclinic.org, we have a link to it there, but you will be able to find this everywhere, because I'm pretty sure you're doing interviews nationwide for this book every half hour. Is that we're lucky that we squeezed you in here, right?
Thank you so much. Ask my wife.
that must be stressful, all those interviews.
Yeah, for our kids too.
So, by the way, two of our fortunate callers are going to receive a complimentary copy of the Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. And of course, we'll be taking your calls after the news at the bottom of the hour. The Stress-Free Living as proposed by Dr. Amit Sood.
What is the first step towards less stress in someone's life?
Insight. I think the first step is to know what causes us stressed, and that's what we share. Not just at a superficial level, but at a deep level. Why our brain gets stressed? Why does it produce stress in its innate being? And I'll share with you as we come forward.
Well, because little caveman brains were designed to do that.
Yes, and stress helped us survive. But if we use our brain as cavemen did, that'll be very maladaptive.
Yeah, they had to be. As you say in the book, they had to be ready to be eaten by a whatever animal at any time. We don't really have that many dangers in our daily life anymore.
Yes. So we were obsessed with eat, do not get eaten, and reproduce. But now it's not the most successful that'll inherit the world. It is the kindness that'll inherit the world. So kindness is what is the way towards the future.
Really? So I find that interesting that you are emphasized so much, and I think one of your statements had to do with, and we're going to talk about meditation a little bit later, but it's not the meditation that's important, it's the kindness.
Tom, I don't care if you meditate, but I care if you're kind to me.
Explain a little bit more about that.
So if you have if you practice meditation and have transcendental experiences, etc., but you're still as ornery as you always were,
which won't come back.
Which he is not. Which he, of course, is not.
Then your meditation has done no good to you. Our collective goal is to make this world beautiful, kind for our children. And that is what kindness does to us.
Well, and that helps to reduce your stress.
Absolutely.
It goes hand in hand.
When I'm kind to you and I'm kind to myself, then I'm giving more and I'm accepting more.
The accepting piece, I think, is key to all of this. Is that hard for Americans? Is that hard for us to do as humans?
Oh, absolutely. Every person I see stressed is obsessed with giving. We are a generation of jugglers and givers. We juggle hundreds of open files. If you have more than 20 user IDs right now and have to pay more than a dozen bills, you're juggling with too much. And we are everybody I meet, they want to give out their physical, emotional, and mental, and spiritual energy, but we don't know how to receive. So that's what I do, and that's what I share in the book, is how can you receive?
Well, let's talk about multitasking, because we are getting so much chatter on our Facebook page about the question that we posed, which is women are better at multitasking than men. And if there is one thing that has created stress in my life, it is multitasking. And I've been trying to get rid of it ever since the first time that I met you. But I shouldn't get rid of all of it. First of all, is it true that women can multitask better than men?
Well, there is at least one study that I am aware of, which was done by Professor Keith Laws in 2010, that women indeed are better at multitasking. If you go back in time, women had to take care of babies. They gave more attention there. And to take care of babies, a human baby needs attention every 20 seconds. But you have to cook, you have to take care of the car, one, you have to take care of the home. So you have to essentially multitask. So multitasking is necessary, but when you multitask in the context of relationships, that is where the problem is. So if I'm talking to you right now, but I'm checking my email at the same time and checking the mail at the same time, then I'm not honoring you.
You equated it before we got going here to brushing your teeth. So you can brush your teeth and think about something else, and you can multitask while you're doing these inconsequential things. But if a person is involved, you should not multitask.
Absolutely. If I gave you the same attention as I gave to brushing my teeth, Sonicare, that is what I use right now, so it's automatic, then I'm not honoring you, and I don't want to do that.
I have to tell you that we have had so many people weighing in on this on Facebook and Twitter, one of them being, I'll just read a couple of them, multitasking is easier for women, the frontal lobe takes longer to mature in men, so executive functioning is delayed. So there's some science to back that one up. Multitasking is a trait. It's a falsity for anyone. Like it or not, we have one brain and two hands. So you really can multitask.
We call it time slicing. So you jump from one task to the other. Like you see a movie, you've got slides going very fast. It seems like a continuous stream, but it's slides going very fast. So you jump from one task to the other so fast that you don't see the interruption. So you cannot, if you go to literal meaning of it or literal experience,
sure.
You cannot multitask, but you can jump from one task to the other very quickly.
Another person said, I just have to say, I think it's probable because women suffer less stress than men. Do you agree with that?
I don't know about that. My wife won't agree, and I perhaps won't.
I don't think I would either.
Yeah.
And no matter what she says, you need to be kind to her.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
That's a promise.
You talk about the brain's two modes. What does that mean?
Oh, brain is a phenomenal organ. It's just an awesome 90 billion neuron packed organ, but it has its own limitations. Our brain exists in two modes. One of them is the focused mode. So we are sitting here in the studio, Tom, and imagine from that window a giraffe peeps at you, and you didn't expect that giraffe peeping at you. They'll pick your attention, right? And that is the focused mode of the brain because it's something entertaining, something unusual. You meet your high school buddy, that gets your focus mode of the brain engaged. But there's a second mode. Let me ask you this. Have you ever read a book, you read half a page, and then you say, what was I reading?
You have to go back and read it again.
Yeah. Oh, where were you at that time? You were mind wandering. And we spend half the day, every day like that, with a wandering mind. And when our mind is wandering, it is not thinking happy thoughts. It is typically thinking neutral or negative thoughts. So brain seesaws between these two modes.
Really? So when you're not concentrating, usually you're thinking bad things.
When you're not intentional, yes, you're trying to protect yourself. About two-thirds of the time, you're either thinking neutral or negative thoughts.
So those things that make you nervous, those things that make you stressed, it happens to everybody. How do you get those thoughts out of your mind, or how do you change your mindset so that things that would normally stress you don't?
I think you change the relationship with those thoughts. First is to acknowledge and validate those thoughts because they do have a basis to us. To them, there is some reality behind them. So you process them in a pragmatic way. And then we have five core skills by which you reframe those thoughts. The first one is gratitude. So when I'm upset, when I'm very busy at work, I can say, well, I'm grateful that I'm able to help people. If my wife made coffee colder than I like, I can be grateful she made coffee. So focusing on what went right within what went wrong. Second is compassion, honoring the other person's limitations, my own limitations, being compassionate to myself. Third is acceptance. Acceptance is creatively working with what is, playing the hand you have. If my engine oil light turns on, breaking the light won't fix the problem. Okay. I need to take it to the dealer. Fourth is meaning in life. What is the positive meaning in this experience? Because adversity teaches us a lot. A broken heart absorbs wisdom faster. And fifth is forgiveness. Knowing that we are all humans, we all have our limitations, and that by forgiving others, I'm freeing up my time to engage with my family.
All right, so we got gratitude, compassion, acceptance.
Meaning. See, we're both writing these down. And forgiveness.
And in our program, we have days divided. So Mondays are our days of gratitude, Tuesdays of compassion, and so on. Friday is forgiveness. It's easier to forgive on Friday.
That's great. So that's actually something that we can all do, that today is our gratitude day. Today is our compassion day.
And what, Saturday, you got the day off?
No, a Saturday is celebration. Oh. And Sunday is reflection slash prayer.
Oh, that's great. That is really good.
All right, we got them all. Gratitude, compassion, acceptance, meaning, and forgiveness. And if you use those techniques, some of you, that will help melt the stress away?
No doubt. I have absolutely no doubt. I've connected with over 40,000 people in the last 5 years. And in my own personal life, I've not had any single adversity where a combination of these principles could not help me.
There you go. You got it.
Excellent.
All right. You're listening to Mayo Clinic Radio. Our guest stress expert, Dr. Ahmed Sood, author of the Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living.
Coming up this week's Health and Medical News with Vivian Williams. And after that, we'll talk with Dr. Hensrud about multivitamins. Is that bogus or not? This is Mayo Clinic Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network.
Hi, I'm Vivian Williams with headlines from the Mayo Clinic News Network. Last year, in 2014, prostate cancer was the leading cause of newly diagnosed cancers in men and the second leading cause of cancer death in men. This year, a team of scientists from UC San Diego described a new way to look at the prostate, and it may have major implications for treatment. They say the technique's more reliable and helps provide a better target for doing biopsies and planning surgeries, and it could lead to more effective treatment. So right now, the standard way to detect and diagnose prostate cancer is with an MRI. For that, you need an injection of contrast to make the tumor stand out from normal tissue. The new approach is called restriction spectrum imaging MRI, or RSI MRI. It looks at water in tissue cells and is non-invasive. The researchers say it may not only help to better diagnose and stage tumors, but it may also help prevent unnecessary procedures, advancing the fight against cancer. And in other news, for lots of people, the resolve to keep New Year's resolutions begins to fade as January marches on. But here's a resolution that's really important to keep: quitting smoking.
One of the questions we're asking more recently is, why do we as a society tolerate a product that kills almost 500,000 Americans every single year? That's the equivalent of 3 fully loaded 747s crashing every day, 365 days a year, with no survivors.
Mayo smoking cessation expert Dr. Richard Hurt says it can be tough to quit, but having a plan can help. Pick a day to start. Talk to your healthcare provider about counseling and medications. Get rid of all your smoking stuff and join a local support group. Also, you can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. There you'll have access to tools to help you kick the habit. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. And now another big resolution is to eat better and lose weight. Well, a study from the University of Vermont shows people actually buy more food after the holidays. Researchers say, sure, people spend more money on food during the holidays, but they buy the most food after New Year's, and they eat about 9% more calories than they do during the holiday season. They say people do pick out healthier items after New Year's, but they also keep buying less healthy holiday favorites, so they end up buying more more calories than during any other time of the year. They say people need better strategies for post-holiday food shopping, such as writing and sticking to grocery lists, substituting junk food with fresh fruit and veggies, and visually making sure your grocery cart is at least half full of healthy choices. And this study was published in the journal PLOS ONE. And that's a look at headlines from the Mayo Clinic News Network. I'm Vivian Williams.
Welcome back. Mayo Clinic Radio, information you want from specialists who know. We are online, on air, and on iHeartRadio.
Earlier this week, the Annals of Internal Medicine released an editorial, a very strongly worded editorial, we should say, and the results of two studies on multivitamins. They recommended that consumers stop wasting their money on multivitamins, Tom, and start spending them on Christmas presents for me. Or maybe that's not exactly what it said. I'm not sure.
You're close. So, myth or matter of fact, vitamins are a waste of money. We'll talk to the medical editor-in-chief of the Mayo Clinic Diet, Dr. Donald Hensrud. He is on line one. Dr. Hensrud, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning and happy holidays.
Thank you. So, what do you say?
Is this media hype or should we save our money? What's the deal?
No, I think people should save their money. You know, intuitively, it makes sense to people that a vitamin provides a little bit of insurance over our diet. But if you really look at the evidence, these new studies confirm what we already suspected. One was in people who'd had a heart attack, 1,700 people followed for 4.5 years, no benefit from a high-dose multivitamin. Another was in 6,000 physicians followed for 12 years, and there was no benefit on cognitive decline. In other words, it didn't prevent Alzheimer's. Finally, there was a systematic review. A group looked at all of the best studies on vitamins and mineral supplements out there. Only two of all of this good randomized trials out there showed borderline benefit. And the editorial said, enough is enough. Stop wasting money, as you mentioned. And I think that's really true, that there isn't a lot of evidence. And in some nutrients, there can even be harm from taking high-dose supplements.
Well, multivitamins are different from supplements. What if you need fish oil or calcium? I mean, shouldn't we be taking any of those?
Well, if you look at the individual data, it varies. There probably is the most data for vitamin D, a little bit of calcium, possibly fish oil. But even multivitamins, it sounds harmless, but there isn't a lot of data supporting it.
You know, this doesn't really surprise you, does it? I mean, we've all been skeptical for years, and I certainly have never taken a multivitamin in my life, and I suppose if my mother told me to, I would have. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think this whole thing has been perpetrated on the public, and it's crazy.
You know, it does intuitively make sense to people, and in fact, 40% of people take multivitamins, and we spend $28 billion a year in this country on vitamin and mineral supplements. If people applied this to good old diet, it sounds boring, but a healthy plant-based diet can have a powerful effect on our health in terms of heart disease, cancer, and many other conditions.
Okay, well, I think that's the key piece right there, because people don't always make the best choices when it comes to the foods that they eat. So can we really get all of the nutrition that we need from our diet? I mean, I've got kids. Can the kids' multivitamins go away if I can really get them to do 5 a day of fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, and even, you know, it doesn't take a heroic effort. Just try and eat a plant-based diet, get those fruits and vegetables in, enjoy a treat over the holidays. Nobody's perfect, but if we can pay just a little bit of attention more to diet, that will go a long way.
If you're not willing to do that, can you keep taking a multivitamin?
Well, again, the evidence, people in these trials, they may not have had the best diet either, but
right.
There wasn't a lot of benefit shown in any of these trials.
Nobody eats 5 fruits and vegetables a day. I mean, very few people,
I
but
do,
they
Tom.
Still don't
I
need
really
a multivitamin.
Do.
Dr. Hensrud and a few other people do, but most of us
Dr.
don't.
Sood, I bet he does.
Yeah, he might, but he's, you know, he's got no stress in his life at all. You know, there are a couple
he
of things we should
mention.
He has a 3-year-old.
Yeah. We know he has stress.
I bet he doesn't give her a multivitamin. So, a couple of things. Folic acid, if you're pregnant. Women should take folic acid, pregnant women, right?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And again, I need to emphasize, if somebody has a vitamin deficiency or in certain situations, that has definitely been shown to prevent neural tube defects. So, any woman who's considering getting pregnant, and the key there is considering, take it before you get pregnant and improve your nutritional status.
All right, and vitamin D, the jury is still out.
Vitamin D, again, there's probably the most benefit for vitamin D supplements because we're trying to stay out of the sun and prevent skin cancer these days, and that's where we get some of our vitamin D. Many people are borderline low on vitamin D, so if people are going to take a supplement, vitamin D and a little bit of calcium, there's probably the most evidence for that.
Dr. Hinsrud, we'll talk to you again in the new year.
Sounds good.
Hey, you know, thanks, Dr. Hinsrud. I think the best statement I ever heard about multivitamins is they just give you expensive urine.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Can
I'm
you
glad
figure
you
that out?
That.
You don't need it, so you excrete it all.
Dr. Sood, as soon as you heard that we were going to be talking about this, you said, yes, of course, multivitamins, we don't need them.
Yeah, I've long believed I should eat what my grandma ate.
Which was
healthy vegetables, fruits, lots of whole grains, lots of water, some nuts. So the five essentials are to a healthy life are diet, healthy diet, physical activity, good sleep, good relationships, and stress management skills.
Dr. Sood is the author of the new book, brand new, being released this coming week, The Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living. We have two copies. Dr. Sood is going to give you a signed copy if you have a question, and we already have our questions here. Anne, go right ahead. You have our first copy of Stress-Free Living, so make sure that you stay on the air after you're done with your question, Anne. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Sood.
Good morning.
My question relates to waking up at night and not being able to get back to sleep. I guess I'm wondering how I can incorporate your theory to maybe help me sleep, get back to sleep sooner. So I think that would also have the effect of having less stress the next day, having better sleep. Is that correct?
Are you worried? Is that what's keeping you awake?
No, I just think about things. You know, the mind kind of wanders.
Yes, and thank you for that question. I think you exactly said it right. Our mind wanders when we wake up at night and we are perusing through all the open files. So I can give you a couple of alternatives to sleep better. One is to have a gratitude exercise or a deep breathing exercise. I can run that with you in the next 2 minutes. Are you at some place safe where you can close your eyes, Anne?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Perfect. So let's do the first exercise. Just sit with your eyes closed.
Okay.
And start taking deep breaths, deep diaphragmatic breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the first breath in, imagine your brain is filling with soothing white light.
Okay.
And then exhale it. Now, imagine your chest is filling with soothing white light. And then exhale it. Your belly is filling with soothing white light. Exhale it. Your entire body is filling with soothing white light. Exhale it. Okay, so that is the first exercise, and the idea is it is very difficult to suppress your thoughts. What you're trying to do is give your mind a healthy alternative to its propensity to think. Another very good exercise is the gratitude meditation, and we can do that again in about 60 seconds. Just keep your eyes closed and think about the first person in your life you're grateful for. And look at that person's face and think about the many ways this person has touched your life. And then send that person your silent gratitude, your silent thank you. Now think about the second person. And go back to the first memory of this person, the first time you saw him or her. And then send your silent gratitude. Think about the third person and imagine this person is very happy wherever he or she is right now. And then send your silent gratitude. Think about someone who has passed away who you loved. Give that person a virtual hug. And then send your silent gratitude. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So the idea is to live your day with those five principles that we had discussed: gratitude, compassion, acceptance, meaning, and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And give and be prepared with healthy alternatives to your mind's tendency to wander. Even if you're not able to get back to sleep right away, it will be a much more relaxed time and you will be rejuvenated.
Okay, very good.
All right, thanks, Tracy, wake up.
Oh, you know what? It does make your body feel better, yeah. Even what I was just doing here in the studio. It really does help. Thanks for calling, Anne.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hold on the line, and Audrey's going to get your information, and we'll send a book out to you, a signed copy of the new Guide to Stress-Free Living. Pat, thank you for holding on. What is your question?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for the program. Oh, how wonderful. I really like all of the programs that come on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
And what I was wondering is, does belief in a higher power, does that help with stress?
Thank you for that wonderful question, Pat. Absolutely. There is research data, there is follow-up data, and it makes sense. Really, belief in a higher power definitely helps stress. Sometimes I look at life as a long drive, not knowing how much gas is in my car. So we have a finite time here, and we don't have much in control. I can't control my genes, the country I was born in, my parents, who were my parents, my kids' health, and all that. So when you have a belief in a high, just power, it gives you that sense of control that we all seek, and it de-stresses you.
Oh, I can understand that.
Right.
Well, I'm a Christian, and I do believe in God, so maybe I'll try to be even more of a Christian and trust God even more.
Yeah, I'll leave you with one line, which I keep with myself, and that is, my worry is an insult to the wisdom of my God.
Oh, I love it.
If I'm worried, yeah, and the other line I keep with myself is, if I can't read his handwriting, then I shouldn't try to edit it.
Thanks for calling, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. Good to talk to you.
Hold on the line. Kelly has got a question that is worth $1 million, I think. Good morning, Kelly. What is your question?
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question if there's a physical difference between stress and anxiety, and if there is, how do you handle it differently?
Thanks for that question. Yes, stress and anxiety are both body's response. It is trying to defend itself. It is threatened. It is feeling lack of control. It is overwhelmed. Generally, we say stress is for something that is external to us or that we have thought, something tangible, something that we can do something about. Anxiety is an internal feeling which doesn't have any locus. You know, I'm anxious, but I don't know why I'm anxious, but I'm stressed because my faucet is leaking in the basement. So stress is something, there are two ways to approach stress. One is, of course, the relaxation modalities and the perspectives. And the other is, well, if you have a leaky faucet, then fix it. So, but for free-floating anxiety, many times there is nothing you can fix. That is just your brain misfiring.
Right.
Thanks for calling in, Kelly. Does that
help?
Thank
you. It did.
Yes. Very good. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thanks, Kelly.
And we should say that you can get your own copy of The Guide to Stress-Free Living at the Mayo Clinic Bookstore, which here in Rochester is in the subway of the Siebens Building, or anywhere across the country online at mayoclinic.com. Just click on mayoclinic.com bookstore. To people who say that I am too old to learn how to get better, how to think better, how to reduce stress by my thoughts, what do you say?
Well, if you're willing to learn, no matter what the age, best is yet to come. That's what I believe, and I have written in the book. So you're as young as you think. A test I sometimes write about is the chocolate chip cookie test. Imagine you love those cookies. We all do. This is holiday season, and your spouse has baked some fresh cookies, and she's hidden them somewhere behind the high fiber cereal boxes. Now, if you hired a 007 agent and you could find them today, will you remember where that box is tomorrow? Yeah?
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, if you'll remember it, then you have a healthy brain. You can form new connections, new memories, and you can learn.
You can learn something new.
Absolutely. The best is always, and actually, Tracy, studies show that the older we get, the lower our stress, because wisdom comes. One of the problems with humans is we lose curiosity too soon. We get wisdom too late. So getting wisdom sooner is better.
Myth or matter of fact, we have to ask this. Stress is the new fat. Is that a myth or a fact?
Stress is the new smoking.
How's that different how from the new fat? Stress is less smoking?
Well, fat is mostly healthy. I think we have, I don't think we have demonized fat. Fat is mostly healthy. Fat is not really that bad. It is when we consume too much of fat.
Sure.
That is a problem. But the amount of damage stress does to us, not just actively when I'm stressed out, I don't hurt myself, but my stress passively hurts everybody around me. If I'm stressed, my wife is stressed, my children are stressed. So that is how stress and smoking are very similar.
Let's go back to the phones. We have another quick question from Janice. Go right ahead with your question, Janice.
Yes, I was going to ask how to build resilience for future stress, but I think you answered it with the cookie example.
So resilience, but let me just chime in a few ideas. Resilience, your ability to withstand and bounce back from adversity. There are four domains of resilience: physical, cognitive, which is your focus, emotional is your ability to reframe, and spiritual, having a sense of meaning and purpose. When you see life's situations as challenges and not overwhelming, when you feel you have sense of control, when you find meaning, and when you have gratitude, compassion, acceptance, and forgiveness, and have better attention, you become resilient.
Because we mentioned it at the beginning of the hour, is there a medication that can help you reduce stress?
Well, there are medications that can help decrease your anxiety. I see them as crutches. They are short time. They're band-aids. They help you for a short period of time. But it is really, stress is a symptom that is reflective of and some kind of imbalance in life. It is brain being overwhelmed.
You know, we said that we were going to talk about meditation and we were going to give three techniques for beginners, and maybe they'll have to get that from the book. But tell us just a little bit about medication and what you think.
Meditation.
Meditation. And I love your statement about it isn't about meditation. It's about being kind.
Absolutely. I think the purpose of meditation is to help you train your attention so you're more focused, more relaxed, more non-judgmental and compassionate. And that is where the meditation should guide us. But if you become too obsessive about, should I sit cross-legged? Should I tilt my body to 23 and a half degree to the north? You know, then you're going to just lose the whole purpose. The key to healthier, happier life is to be kind. As I said earlier, what I care about is if you're kind to me. I don't care if you meditate. So that is the main focus. The purpose of meditation is to be kind. It is not easy to meditate. That is not the first technique that we share with people.
We have about 30 seconds left. Can you tell us how to keep the holiday season stress-free?
Well, the most important part is to recognize that holidays are about three things that are the most important. They are relationships, relationships, and relationships. So we feast too little on quality time in holidays. We feast too much on goods and goodies and do not focus on the good time we can have with each other. So focus on relationships, being kind to yourself, having quality time. Don't fall too way off the wellness bandwagon. That is how you'll enjoy your holidays.
All right, and we don't want to forget the big five: gratitude, compassion, acceptance, meaning, forgiveness, and what is
celebration,
it? Celebration on
and
Saturday?
Reflection and prayer on Sunday.
Oh yeah, we got every day of the week covered, don't we?
I need a calendar that says that. There's your marketing idea.
You know, Dr. Amit Sood, thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate
sure.
your time. He is author of the Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living, Dr. Amit Sood.
Go and find your own copy now. I'm marking mine up all over the place. You're listening to Mayo Clinic Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network. Coming up, we'll tell you about next week's program.
Welcome back. For more information about Dr. Amit Sood, the book Stress-Free Living, a video featuring Dr. Sood, and resources from Mayo Clinic to help you be less stressed in 2015, go to mayoclinic.org. Our program next week will feature Dr. Pratish Tosh discussing the status of the flu season. Unfortunately, unlike past years, this year's vaccine wasn't as strong of a match for the flu strain being experienced this season. We'll include whooping cough and discuss the recent reports of some adults being diagnosed with mumps and chickenpox. Also, Dr. Donald Hensrud from the Mayo Clinic Healthy Living Program, as well as dietitian Jen Welper. We hope you'll join us. For more information on topics discussed on this program, visit our website, mayoclinic.org.
where you can access a podcast of today's program as well as previous episodes. And that's not all. At mayoclinic.org, there are over 3,000 physicians, scientists, and researchers from Mayo Clinic to share their expertise to empower you to better manage your health.
You've been listening to Mayo Clinic Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network. Our senior producer, Ron Petrovich, our associate producer and phone screener, Audrey Castletine, our technical director, Kim David. Our theme music, written and performed by Chip Davis of Mannheim Steamroller. For Mayo Clinic Radio, I'm Dr. Tom Shives.
And I'm Tracy McRae.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Any medical information conveyed during this program is not intended as a substitute for personal medical advice, and you should not take any action before consulting a healthcare professional. For more information, please go to our website, radio.mayoclinic.org. Please join us each week on this station for more of the medical information you want from Mayo Clinic specialists who know.